The August primary elections are next week, and our first guest this hour is on a mission to educate Wisconsin residents on the issues, the candidates, and the voting rules. In the first half of our state capitol report, we'll discuss those topics, including the latest on voter ID. And we will also talk about the League of Women Voters Gear Up to Vote van and campaign. And we are going to welcome your questions. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, August 1st. So what questions do you have about voting in the August 9th primary? How do you feel about a federal judge striking down parts of Wisconsin's photo ID law, which included restrictions on early voting? And what do you think that the state should appeal that or not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Andrea Kaminsky, Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. The league kicked off its Gear Up to Vote campaign last month. Good morning.
Good morning.
Before we get into the Gear Up to Vote campaign, let's get your thoughts on the news that broke late Friday afternoon. U.S. District Judge James Peterson struck down parts of Wisconsin's voter ID law, not the whole thing, but portions of it. He ruled that the state cannot enforce certain restrictions on early voting and called for the replacement or reform for the petition process in place for those who can't easily get a photo ID. First off, what's your reaction to Judge Peterson's ruling?
Well, we were delighted, as you can imagine. We the League of Women Voters never felt that this law was needed. We never felt that it addressed any problem or solved any problems in our elections. And we do know that it made it more difficult or impossible for some people to vote. And we saw that in the April 5th election, where our observers were in the polls, and we've been getting calls from voters. We do know that this law has been a serious problem for many citizens. And so we were delighted to see this ruling, and it came on a day that was really stunning from a voting rights viewpoint, because also the North Carolina voter ID law was completely struck down. So,
and also voter ID provisions in Texas.
In Texas, that was recent. And then also on Friday, a restriction in Kansas that was not voter ID. It was a proof of citizen type of restriction on federal registration forms, and that was struck down. So
why do you suppose all this is happening right now?
Well, we think that these courts all agree that these laws are not serving any positive function, and they are actually hurting our elections by preventing eligible citizens from voting.
Now, what does this ruling mean for the primary?
It does not mean anything for the primary, because Judge Peterson did say that too soon before the primary to make big changes. So you will still have to show a photo ID, an acceptable photo ID, at the polls this August 9th.
And we don't know, what about November? If the state appeals, it could be the same as usual, or it could be different?
Well, we don't know. That's up to the courts. And the state has said it will appeal, but we certainly hope that the ruling will hold through the election and beyond.
And so essentially, if it holds, it means that early voting can be later than it is currently.
That's right. This ruling abolished the restrictions, the recent restrictions on early voting. It says that now municipalities can offer voting on weekends if they wish, and they can offer voting, early voting in the evenings, so that it's more convenient for more people to be able to vote. That is in a period up until the Monday before the election. No early voting on the Monday before the election.
Under the ruling on Friday, the judge that struck down those limitations on in-person absentee voting or early voting said that that these restrictions or limitations had a desperate effect on African Americans and Latinos. Why would that be?
Well, it people are have jobs. They may have jobs that don't allow them to leave during the day. And also just culturally, it's a time to, the weekends are a time to come together and to vote. Many African-American churches would take people to early voting following their services on Sunday. It's an important time for some people to vote.
Other provisions rejected include the requirement increasing the residency requirement from 10 days to 28 days, the prohibition on distributing absentee ballots by fax or by email, and the prohibition on using expired but otherwise qualifying student IDs. Any of these seem particularly significant to you?
Well, the student ID issue will be very helpful for many students. I think that means they won't have to provide proof of current enrollment, which is difficult to do. And when you think about it, you're issued a photo ID. It's got your name. It's got your photo. The purpose of the photo ID law, the authors of the law said over and over again, it's only to be sure that you are the person you say you are. And whether your student ID is expired or your driver's license. As a matter of fact, if your driver's license is expired any time since the last general election, which in this case would be November 4th, 2014, your driver's license is still acceptable. So why shouldn't a student ID still be acceptable? It still shows that you are the person you say you are.
As we mentioned, the state is appealing. Attorney General Brad Schimmel is said to be reviewing the ruling. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said this liberal judge is trying to undermine state elections and made an obvious attempt to usurp the power of the state legislature. Voss was said that he was confident that these laws will eventually be reinstated. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, we feel that the state legislature overstepped its boundaries, overstepped its authority when it passed these laws, because these laws deal with a fundamental right of citizenship. We feel that voting is a fundamental citizen right which must be guaranteed, and the that the Constitution came before the legislature. So we certainly hope that these laws, that this injunction holds.
So let's talk about next Tuesday, the August 9th primary. As mentioned, these requirements that were struck down by the judge will not be in place for next week's primary.
Right. Mm-hmm. For next week's primary, just a week from tomorrow, it will still be the same. We'll be under the same photo ID law that we had for the presidential primary in the spring. People will be required to provide an acceptable, one of seven possible photo IDs in order to vote, in order to have their ballot counted, I should say. They can vote without it, but they will be given a provisional ballot that will only be counted if they go to their clerk's office after the election and provide their ID.
Remind us, what steps do people need to take in order to be able to vote if they aren't already registered to do so?
If they're not already registered, they can still register at their clerk's office, or they can register at the polls on Election Day. They will, if they have a Wisconsin driver's license or state ID, they will have to provide that number. If you don't have one, you can provide the last four digits of your Social Security number. And if you don't have that, you still can register to vote. You will also have to provide an acceptable proof of residence document. And there's a listing of those. If you go to the state voter information website, you can find that list of what's acceptable. It's myvote.wi.gov. And it includes, if you have a driver's license that happens to have your current address, that's what a lot of people use, and that's very acceptable. A utility bill, a bank statement has to have your name and your current address on it.
We will post that link on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And we next will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. And when we come back, we will talk about the League's Gear Up to Vote campaign. We'll find out what that's all about. We'll welcome your questions about the rules for voting next week in the August primary. And we'll welcome any questions or reactions you have about the judge striking down some portions of Wisconsin's voter ID law. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We'll check news and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with Andrea Kaminsky, who is the executive director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. The League kicked off its Gear Up to Vote campaign last month, and we will talk more about what this Gear Up to Vote campaign is all about and welcome your questions about voting, about what you need to do if you plan to vote in the August 9th primary, a week from tomorrow. Coming up, in fact, in just a few minutes, we continue our series of candidate interviews. We are interviewing candidates running in significant or key races in the primary elections. We'll have U.S. Senate candidate Russ Feingold joining us coming up after 7:30. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, let's talk about, Andrea, the League's Gear Up to Vote campaign. What is this all about?
Well, the League realized that it could see at the end of last year that this was going to be a challenging year with a great need for voter education. We have a number of new laws, and we also have a new state election agency in place this year. And so we actually ramped up our efforts to do voter education and to help our local leagues do what they do so well in their communities in 18 areas around the state. So we first increased our staff by one position from going from two to three, so that's a huge increase. And we also launched this Gear Up to Vote campaign in which we have a brightly colored, brightly wrapped minivan that's going around the state. We're going to community fairs, libraries, senior centers, ethnic fests, and farmers markets all over the state, and meeting there are local volunteers who are, many of them are deputized to register voters. They are experts on where to vote and how to get information in their communities. And they're all volunteers, and they are all really committed to helping people vote in their community, making sure that every eligible citizen who wants to vote has that opportunity. And so, for instance, over the weekend, we were in Manitowoc and Two Rivers at farmers markets, and we greeted and, you know, met and greeted as many people as we could there, and had a great time explaining things.
And I mentioned during the news that I just missed you. I took the car ferry into Manitowoc yesterday, on my return leg of my vacation. So that was quite the experience too. What seems to be some of the most common questions you're getting, what are people most interested in?
Well, over the weekend they were all asking, well, what is this new ruling? What's going on? Do you still need an ID? What we're telling people is you do still need an ID, even under the new ruling. Certainly for August 9th, nothing has changed for August 9th. You do still need an ID. It will be a little easier under the new ruling to get one, and that's good. And more people will be able to get one.
And why will it be easier under the new ruling?
Well, Judge Peterson said that the petition process for obtaining a free ID for voting was unconstitutional. And so he has his ruling makes that easier for people to navigate. If they apply for an ID and perhaps they don't have a birth certificate or whatever, they have to be issued some kind of credential, some kind of certificate or receipt or something that says that they can vote and while they're in that process and whatever. And it has to have the same expiration term as a driver's license or state ID.
And where is the Gear Up to Vote van going next?
Well, on Tuesday, we'll be at National Night Out events, first in Milwaukee and then in Janesville. And then on Thursday, we'll be in Appleton at the Mile of Music event. And again, we'll have staff and volunteers from Madison going in the van, and then we'll be meeting up with our local leagues there.
And I might see you in Appleton for the Mile of Music, so I'll look for
fun.
You. Carol from Chippewa Falls called in and wanted to remind everyone you can still vote early this week, Monday through Friday. Is that correct?
That's right, until the end of the day Friday.
Mm-hmm. And that is that is going to your clerk's office, your local clerk's office, to vote prior to the election.
That's right, and it would be worth a call to your clerk's office or go online and check their hours. Not all of them have the same hours.
So. Yeah, and under early or in-person absentee voting, that limitations were placed on that by the state legislature, so the weekends were taken off of the early voting, and now this judge is saying that's unconstitutional.
That's right, but that will be before the November election and not now.
Not now, mm-hmm. Yes. Let's go to Art in Green Bay, who has a question. Hello, Art.
Yeah, good morning, Joy. Good morning to your guest. A couple of things. I have a paper from the 2004 election that is... I screenshot it before it was taken down off the internet, and it was basically telling Minnesota young Democrats where they could go in order to get housing in Wisconsin so they could come to Wisconsin and vote. And then also your guest mentioned that she was concerned about citizenship, and I think the voter ID law is all about citizenship, and that's the most important thing, and that's what it calls for. But the other thing I wanted to point out was she mentioned that it was difficult for blacks and Hispanics to get IDs, and that sometimes they had to work and other things, other excuses, and so on and so forth. I think it's kind of a racist thing to be telling these people that they're incapable of getting their IDs and that sort of thing. So then the last point is,
I'm sorry, Art, you gave us too many things to talk about, and we're almost out of time. Essentially, I don't think you're saying that it was harder for African Americans and Latinos to get IDs. This was the judge thought it was the early voting restrictions were unfair to them.
That's right, and there also is evidence. There is evidence, yeah, that African Americans and Latinos are less likely to have an ID, and also that it's more difficult to obtain one. So,
yeah. Do you have any other response to Art says that apparently he thinks there is some fraud going on out there?
Well, the Wisconsin ID law did nothing to address that. It's the only thing that it could possibly prevent, the only kind of illegal voting it could prevent, would be impersonation. Voter impersonation at the polls. In order to do that, you would have to go in, give somebody else's name and address, know that that person isn't going to come in that day or hasn't already voted. You'd have to know that nobody in the room would know that you're not that person. It's just there truly are very good safeguards in place in our elections. And I think the more people go and observe polls and so forth, the more they see that that's true and that our election workers are very committed to helping people vote and to keeping elections very fair.
So we've got 8 days until the August primary, a week from tomorrow. What advice do you have for voters between now and then?
Well, they can go online to either the public radio, public TV site, wisconsinvote.org, or to vote411.org, the League site, and learn about what's on their ballots. On the League site, we also have the candidates' answers to some key questions that we ask them. We publish those verbatim. So get informed. Make sure you have an acceptable ID and do vote. It's very important, including in primaries, perhaps especially in a primary, that you vote.
Yeah, and aside from the results, what are you going to be most interested in with regard to next week's primary?
Well, I will be interested whether we will break the, I think it's 16% turnout that's expected. We did that. We sure did that on April 5th in a presidential election. And I really think Wisconsin is, that people are figuring out that they really need to get out there and have a say in their government.
Thanks for being with us. Andrea Kaminsky is the executive director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. And coming up next, we will talk with former Democratic U.S. Senator Russ Feingold as our series of candidate interviews continues.